All right, Laker fans, oh my goodness, what a crushing, unbelievable beatdown that you took. All the trash talk about the win by 1 point over the Celtics feels like it was a generation ago. Are you willing to acknowledge this season is over, as I have been telling you it is?
It's not over. It's February 13th
now. You're dead.
This reminds me of when you came on the air after the Patriots lost to the Lions and you said, Patriot fans, where are you? You're dead. You're over. Tom Brady's done. You're not going anywhere. Look,
if G4 let's had be honest, lined up onside, first of all, comparing the New England Patriots to the Lakers, you
I'm
should
not comparing
be
the
apologizing
two
right now.
I'm not comparing
to
the two
the
teams.
Patriots.
I'm comparing you overreacting in both situations.
You're not even defending your team right
there,
now.
There
You're just
no,
trying to glom
no,
onto
no, no,
the
no,
Patriots
no.
dynasty.
What do you want me to defend? They played horribly against the Hawks.
I
you
want
can't
you to
lose
acknowledge
to a team
that this
like that.
Season has been a dumpster fire for
Although,
LeBron, and that the Lakers have no chance to advance in the playoffs, even if they make the playoffs
Look,
as the 8 seed.
The Hawks are a pretty tough team, though. You saw that redhead dude
even,
they have dunking. Losing to that ginger on the Hawks and all the rest of their squad was a bad beat. It was. But to say the season's over, it's not true. If you're a Lakers fan, you know what the team has gone through the past two seasons. They had a record similar to what the Knicks have right now, and they were basically out of the NBA playoffs after the first month of the season. The Lakers are still in it. Are they going to need to go on a run after the NBA All-Star break? Yeah. I think they're going to need to win 16 of those 25 games to have a chance at that seventh spot.
And you would acknowledge there's going to be a lot of dumb people out there who focus on making the playoffs as if the 8 seed is the goal.
Well, yeah, because the Lakers haven't been in the playoffs recently.
That's
the reason why.
Yeah, I understand.
But here, for you to say it's an abject failure, a disaster that LeBron went to L.A., Clay, it's not the third year that he's been here. It's not the fourth year of his four-year contract.
This is the best LeBron is going to be. I think if you look forward.
No, it's not, because he doesn't have a second All-Star on the team yet.
Doesn't matter. He's going to get progressively worse as he ages. You may well
reasonable.
Have a Kobe situation all over again.
It's not a Kobe
you
situation.
You already got an injury.
Stop.
He missed a month with
yes,
the groin.
But it was a groin. It wasn't a knee that needed to be.
But that might
there
happen.
There was no surgery
That's
on
what
the
happens
knee.
When you get old is your body starts to break down. I know LeBron had a triple-double last night. I won
okay,
money on that game.
You're talking in maybes. That's fine. But look, any reasonable NBA fan, when the season started, nobody thought the Lakers were going to the finals. A lot of experts said they probably wouldn't even get out of the West with the roster the way it is. And that's why the Anthony Davis news that came about was such a big deal, because reasonable fans understand the Lakers need a second All-Star on the team.
Even if you had a second All-Star, it's still not going to be a very good team, because you'd have to give up a lot of the young players to get that second All-Star.
But it's a start.
I want you to grab this audio.
Okay.
The Lakers have a 0% chance of winning a championship during LeBron James' tenure there. Grab this audio.
During the entire four-year contract?
Yes.
Okay.
0%.
0%.
I want all
okay.
of the LeBron James is going to lead the Laker to a champion talk to die immediately. All right, is Coop there? Does anybody else want to try to defend the Lakers? Who else is the number two?
Before we go to anyone else, I got to say the evolution of you in the NBA regular season the past 2 weeks has been amazing. You've gone from NBA regular season stinks, it doesn't matter, I'm not even going to talk about it, to I can't wait to see the Celtics run the Lakers by double digits, to oh crap, that was a bad bet on my part. I stunk on Lock It In, and now I have it out for the Lakers, and I'm going to sit at the keyboard.
I am the voice of reality.
No,
I am the archangel of the puncturing delusions. In the city of
you
angels
don't even
on
like,
behalf of the
you
Lakers.
You don't even like the NBA, but now you're going to sit
no,
at your keyboard.
No, that's not fair. I do. I'm not
well,
at the keyboard.
Like
I'm on my mic.
No,
like
I'm talking about last night. The game
the
wasn't even over yet.
That
and
I
you
don't
were
like
typing.
The NBA is false. I think that 90% of the NBA season is worthless, almost as worthless as the Lakers are. Coop, defend your team.
He is in the production studio down the hall working
him,
on the podcast.
Scream for him to come down and respond. Because he was all in on the Celtics. A lot of trash talk there. The production room is not an excuse. Who else? Who's the number two Laker fan that I could speak to right now? Roberto's out. Iowa Sam, yeah. Are you a Laker fan?
Man. Clay just wants to troll on Laker fans hard this morning.
Trolling is
I'm not a Laker fan, Clay. I'm just here to do my job.
Trolling is when you say something you don't believe. The Lakers stink. That's 100% true,
no,
and they're not going to win a championship
with
LeBron.
You were not triggered by LeBron or the Lakers until your loss on that Celtics bet.
No, it's not true. I've been having to hear about the Lakers and LeBron, what turned me into a full-throated member of the Laker hater universe was the whole Anthony Davis pursuit. The fact that the Lakers thought that they were going to be so smart and they were going to go get Anthony Davis, and I love the fact that the Pelicans stood up to him and just dunked on him the entire time.
The Pelicans are a crap organization who got dunked on by 40 points last night. And, oh, by the way, the Lakers get to see them three times at the end of the season here. So anybody who plays at the Smoothie King Center is not in the driver's seat in the NBA. So you could say whatever you want about the Pelicans, but are they in a better spot right now than they were? No,
yes,
they're not.
Because they're going to have everybody the entire offseason while the Lakers are sitting around winning any playoff games.
So Anthony Davis is the only free agent out there? No, there's going to be a lot of free agents, and Anthony Davis is just going to be one of them.
No, he's not even going to be a free agent. He's got a year left on his contract. They don't have to do anything.
Okay, he's going to be one of
them. They can sit around and wait to see how much they're going to get. Coop, how much are you Dub, how much are you loving the Lakers sucking and being done and having no relevance whatsoever?
I can't lie. I mean, I bleed black and silver, okay? I've been a Spurs fan since I was born, so my hate for the Lakers runs very deep. So I cannot lie. I am not minding this little stretch by the Lakers here.
This is phenomenal. I love everything about it. I said yesterday on Lock It In, there was a 0% chance that the Lakers were going to lose to the Falcons, the Hawks, whoever they are.
the Falcons.
All right.
Lakers are a worldwide brand, one of the best organizations in sports forever.
0% chance that they were going to lose this game because I said, I can't get the joy of getting to sit down and puncture all the illusions of all the fake Laker fans out there,
Have all the joy you want. There are tons of real Laker fans. I've been a Laker fan since I was the age of your youngest son, watching Magic and James Worthy and Michael Cooper hit threes and Byron Scott and that whole squad. So through the good times and the bad times, I've been a real Lakers fan. I never sat here and yelled that the Lakers were going to win a championship this season. It was fun to get LeBron on the team because not only are the Lakers relevant, but they went on a run to where they got to fourth in the West before LeBron got injured. That month off, completely hurt. They came back in a nice way against the Celtics. These past two losses have been horrible. But if you're going to count LeBron out for his entire four-year contract, that's a mistake.
No, he's done. They have a 0% chance of
winning a championship. We've heard you do this before with other stars. We've heard this before.
This is it for LeBron. It is a slow decline to obsolescence. He is finished. Let me bring in Eddie Garcia. Eddie, you live in L.A. Do you agree with me that the Lakers are done?
I am completely impartial in this. I am not a Laker fan. I'm not a Laker hater either. But, Clay, I thought the Lakers were going to make the playoffs. The Clippers had waved the white flag. I didn't believe in the Sacramento Kings. But after that loss to the Hawks, I'm going to say they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think, again, the focus on the playoffs is a little bit misguided because making it as the 8 seed and having to play against the Warriors, I legitimately mean this, given his rivalry against the Warriors, I think LeBron would almost rather not make the playoffs than just get crushed by the Warriors in the first round of the postseason. Because I don't know what you gain by getting run. Maybe you win one game at best and go 4-1 in that series. I legitimately question what the rationale or reason or what you would gain from it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ohio, what you got for me?
Clay, need a little romantic advice on this Valentine's Day Eve here. The thing that I like to talk about is I'm 51 years old. I'm going out with a.
What happened there? It sounded like it was going to go in a good direction. Ohio needs to call back. Sounded like it was 51. What happened there, Dub? Was that us? Was that our error? Is my mic on? Is the show actually going out across the nation, or did I just get zapped instead of the caller?
It looks like Dub's studio in Nashville got zapped.
Is Dub not there either?
Now we'll reconnect.
I swear to God, is it even possible that we could have more failures when it comes to phones?
We got Dub back. It's been months since Nashville had an issue, so they
months
have that
is an exaggeration. I think last month we definitely had issues. Dub, are you back there?
I'm back here. Is something zapped real quick, and it sounds like I'm back on.
Yeah, you're back, but so we lost the call.
Is Ohio with us?
Is Ohio still there?
Ohio is still with us.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yes.
How about that?
What an unbelievable outcome that was. That's like somebody who jumps in the air. You think they're going to fall, and they land on both their feet on the ice. All right, what's going on there, Ohio? You said you're 51, and then you got cut off.
I'm going out with a 41-year-old girl. Very attractive, professional, busy professional. But the thing is, you know, we just kind of go out. I get the kiss goodnight and everything, but I haven't taken it to the next level of intimacy. And we've been going out for like 9 months. Now, she's a keeper, I think. But, you know, 9 months, and I can't take it beyond just a nice passionate kiss goodnight. I need some romantic advice.
So where do you kiss? Like on the doorstep? Like it's like 1940? So you've been going out for 9 months. Well, have you tried to move beyond? Have you tried to go to second base?
Well, she's been over to my place.
Yeah.
I've cooked her dinner. We have great conversation. She's a wonderful girl. I mean, she really is.
Okay.
I mean,
so what's her background? Is she married? Does she have? I mean, you know, used to be married. Does she have kids?
She's divorced. No kids. I mean, in this area, to find somebody 41 with no kids is like a.
She's a unicorn.
You know, the unicorn.
Yeah.
I mean.
Is she dating anybody else?
That's why I don't want
to. Are you exclusive?
No. From what I gather, yes, I am.
Have you ever had that conversation?
Yeah. We've had that conversation, and she dated someone up to like 3 months into our relationship, and then she said she hadn't been seeing him for quite a long time. She says I treat her better than any man has ever treated. Like, I mean, I give her, you know, I spoil her with, you know, with the. With, I mean, I'm attentive with, like, I send her flowers tomorrow, you know, things like that, and I'm very attentive with gifts. And over Christmas, I got her things that she liked and stuff like that. I mean, she was
so all right. Yeah, no, this all sounds good, but I'm curious. So you've been just kissing, which is amazing. You're just making out. You're 51. She's 41. Yeah. Do you do what do you do with your hands when you make out?
Well, I mean,
are they like behind your back? I mean, like a penalty kick in soccer? Like,
I mean, I try to be a good Catholic boy. So, I mean, I guess I could. I start moving them a little bit, but I mean, then she might stop and like she might break the embrace and pull away. So then I just stop. You know.
I mean, I would love to have this woman call in now because my bet is she's probably talking to her girlfriends and, like, I can't figure out what he's doing. You know, like, we've been dating for 9 months and he's 50. It's not like he's 15 and all we do is make out.
But, I mean, I think I'm stuck in the friend zone a little bit. I don't know.
Well, but you're dating, though. You go out to dinner, like, if you're making out, when you say make out, like, how long do you kiss?
I didn't time it, but it's like, I mean, you know, like 5-10 minutes.
5 or 10 minutes of just kissing is a long time, right? Like, there's a lot of dudes out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so, and you're standing up? Like, I don't even remember the last time I kissed somebody standing up for more than 30 seconds.
Sometime in the car, things like that, you know, because it's cold out now, so we just stay in the car and then stuff like that.
I got to be honest with you guys.
Have you ever gotten her? Yeah, let's keep them on. Have you ever gotten her onto a couch?
Well, we're going to have to continue to ask more questions. You've been on the couch kissing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you don't go down like on the ground, like onto the couch, like you stay seated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems to me that it would be an easy move to just kind of gradually lean over so that you're, you know, the first step, I would say, we got to keep Ohio on here. This is a fascinating call. 51-year-old guy who can't get to second base. I got to say, the first move that you got to make is you got to get off the ground, right? You got to get the feet up and you got to get laying down.
Yeah, that's what the couch is for.
That's what the couch is for. There's no doubt. Like, This is I am utterly fascinated by this. We're going to figure this out before Valentine's Day for this poor bastard.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
The Lakers will lose. The Kentucky Wildcats lose. Michigan loses. Duke comes back from 23. But everybody out there wants to hear from our 51-year-old caller who's got a 41-year-old girlfriend, and they've only made out for 9 months. And somehow, where's Dub? I mean, you did something and he hung up on you?
Okay, well, Danny G had a great idea. It is a great idea, undeniably. He wanted to get the girl on the line with our friend from Ohio so we could hash this out. I mean, it's the season of love. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. We need to help this man out who's been dating this beautiful woman for 9 months, and all he's done is kiss her for 5 to 10 minutes.
All right,
at
so
time.
What happened? First of all, that's a really aggressive move that he's going to let us call the girl. And so she immediately hung up?
I asked him, and he did not seem very pleased with the idea. And I put him back on hold, and then he hung up, yes.
So we teased, like, we're going to figure out, solve this guy's problems. And then you, Nimrods, have 6 minutes to hold him on the line, and you managed to offend him, and he hung up.
Well, that's correct.
He's still listening right now. We can still help him.
This
that's
is
true. That's what this is all about.
Unbelievable that you guys cannot manage to hold a guest for 6 minutes without offending him.
Look, all he had to say was, no, I don't want her on the radio.
I gotta be honest.
There's lots of morning shows that put couples on the air together, even after first dates. This guy has been dating her for 9 months.
This guy is obviously not an aggressive dude if he's been dating her for 9 months and he's just been making out. All right, so I will open up the phone lines. I only want this. Only women, all right? Only, it's the day before Valentine's Day. You have been dating a guy for 9 months, and he has only made out with you. What would you be telling your girlfriends, and what would you want him to do on Valentine's Day? Also, our man in Ohio, I would like to apologize for the idiots that I work with. I apologize. We do want to solve your problem. You can call back in.
Although you would have loved it if he would have said
996-6369. Yeah, but you
because
could have
I,
let
no,
me
I
ask
told
the
you off the air, and you said that's a great idea.
I am the likable person on this show.
Yeah, right.
People listen to this show because they want to spend time with me. They trust me. You guys are like the zoo crew that make people uncomfortable. And that's been evidenced by the fact that we have a guy who's calling in seeking help from me, and somehow you guys offend him during break, and he hangs up. I mean, that takes a lot of work. A lot of work by you guys, all right? So only women, I want – this guy calls in asking for advice. I'm going to give him my advice, but I want only women to call in who are listening to us right now. And I understand – I don't want like a 16- or 18-year-old girl to call in. Because this is the kind of problem that most 16-year-old boys have. Like, how do I go from making out to second base, right? How do I move? That's like a 16-year-old boy dilemma, by and large. So I don't want young girls to call in. I want women who have been dating or married, like, pretend, divorced, whatever it is. You've been dating a guy for 9 months. So here's my thought, because I was thinking about this a lot during the break, because unlike you guys, I wasn't trying to offend our guests and get them to hang up. 877-996-6369, only women. Here is my thought in general on this. First of all, this is a funny part that is designed to make fun of this a little bit. I had a buddy, now married, now with multiple kids. When we were in our 20s, he said that every time he hooked up with a girl, that he had a brilliant idea. He said, most women, the first time you hook up with them, are used to trying to prevent you from taking their clothes off, right? Like, there's every woman out there's been like, oh, I don't want to make out with this guy. I don't want to take my top off. I don't want to take my pants, whatever it is, right? Women are prepared with not taking their clothes off. Most guys try to take women's clothes off when they're making out. They do the opposite of what this guy did. They try to progress too fast, right? He said, what women aren't prepared for is if you just get totally naked yourself. So in a really funny move, if this guy is so nervous about trying to go to second base, what if you just get totally nude yourself? That is like the record scratch moment. That changes things in a heartbeat. There's not a woman out there right now that would think, well, what do I do? Like, you're making out, and then you step back, and you just take all your clothes off and get completely nude. Then she either is going to take off all her clothes, or she's going to leave. Either way, you've decided things, and you haven't had to do anything to her at all, right? Now, it's a funny concept, but I think my buddy might have been a genius. He's like, you know, don't worry about taking their clothes off. Just take all your clothes off. If they stay, then they're fine with it. If they aren't, then they leave, and that's that. It's an intriguing move. It's an intriguing move by my buddy. Now, if you're on the couch for our 51-year-old Ohio guy and you are kissing, the natural body lean is to end up laying down, right? Natural body lean. It's almost impossible to make out with somebody and stay ramrod straight, like sitting side by side on the couch. When you slide over on the couch, you then have to make a move, especially after 9 months. Because I think this girl is sitting around, and we're opening up the phone lines, only female callers, 877-996-6369. I'm going to go to them here in a minute, what you would think. All right? Second part of this. If it's Valentine's Day and you are just so afraid of making a move, you could buy her something Valentine's-like. Not like something crazy, but something like kind of sexy, and say, I want to see you in this. All right? If you are unable or unwilling to make the move yourself, get her flowers, get her chocolates, the standard Valentine's Day accompaniment. Tomorrow, by the way, is Valentine's Day. And you could also go buy her something, some nice little negligee or something from Victoria's Secret, and say, oh, by the way, I want to see you in this. If she won't put that on, then you probably have got a little bit of issues. She's obviously not taking control of the relationship in general. All right, Laura in Florida wants to weigh in. Laura, if you were dating a guy for 9 months and you had only made out, and he was 50 and you were 40, your thoughts would be what?
That she's waiting for the ring. If she wanted to have sex with him, she would by now. She's waiting.
She wants him to propose to her? Is it 1840?
That I guarantee you that is what she's doing. She's 41. She knows if she just gives it up, probably not going to happen. Maybe she wants to get married again. That's just listening to it all. That's my take. Because if she wanted to, because you're right, it's 2019. If she wanted it, she'd get it. She's waiting.
What would be your move? What if he just went totally nude the next time they made out? What do you think she would do?
If she's waiting for the ring, she would demurely tell him, I'm just not that kind of girl.
But she's
41. If she wants it, she'll take it. But exactly, she's 41. She would take him if she wanted him. She's waiting for that's what I think.
So what should he do? Should he propose?
He obviously likes her. He says she's a unicorn. She's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, if that's what... But if... I don't know. Like, all I'm saying is if I wanted to have sex with somebody, I would have sex with somebody. If I ever got divorced from my husband, I knew I wanted to get remarried, the last thing I would do is just lay it out for any guy to have if I knew that that's what I wanted. If I think I found a good guy, I would wait.
All right, so why would you want to make out then?
Because it feels nice.
But make out, like, when's the last time that you made out for 10 minutes and that's all you did?
I haven't. You're right. I've been married now for 10 years. We don't make out anymore. We do the thing.
Yeah.
We're happy.
That's my thing. You know? Like, what else would you, so what advice would you give this guy?
I would tell him to start talking, have the conversation. If he's ready to progress and make it like, I'm ready to progress in our relationship.
Is my lingerie idea too aggressive?
I don't think so. I think that's a good icebreaker. Because then she might be able to say at that point, you know, I'm not interested in having sex unless this goes to the next level. But, you know, as long as he makes it classy lingerie, don't make it slutty lingerie. Classy lingerie.
I'm not talking about, like, Fredericks of Hollywood. I'm saying, like, a nice, you know, like, bustier, like a nice little – maybe guys are bad at buying lingerie, but, yeah, that's right. Yeah, not like
– a nighty, a short little nighty.
Yes.
So she still feels a little bit covered, but still very sexy. That would be my suggestion if he's going to go that route.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. All right, so that's Laura in Florida. Andrea or Andrea in Indiana. Andrea, which way is it, Andrea? Andrea or Andrea in Indiana?
It's Andrea.
All right, so what do you think? What should he do?
Well, I think he definitely needs to be more aggressive, but at first he needs to consider that maybe she just is not that into him.
But why would you go out as a woman for 9 months with a guy if you're not that into him? Like, that's a lot of time to invest in a guy you're not interested in.
It is a lot of time, but we don't know exactly what their dates are consisting of. Maybe she's unfortunately put him in that friend zone.
Do you think it's possible?
Maybe she thinks they're just friends.
Do you think he thinks? Well, but again, you're making out. When's the last time you made out? Are you married?
I am married, and I try to make out daily.
You make out daily? Like, you and your husband just like make out like you're 15 years old?
Yeah.
For how long?
Oh, yeah. Oh, as long as we can.
But then so what? That, like, that's the end of it? Like, you just, or do you, it progress?
Well, no, we have, yeah, it progresses.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I understand if you, but I'm saying, no, you just stop at the make out.
Right. Nah, that's a little odd, but it's possible maybe that the makeout is not exactly, he might be thinking they're making out and maybe she doesn't. But if we want to go with the idea that she wants it to progress and he wants it to progress, then he's going to have to be a lot more aggressive and make her feel like she's that special that
he just can't. What do you think about my lingerie idea?
I think it's okay, but I think there may be some things before you get to lingerie that might send the message even more.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. April in Oklahoma City. What's up, April?
Hi, Trey. Travis.
Usually I'm pretty rough when you go wrong with the first name and the second name, but I'm going to let you slide, April.
Yeah,
on men, when men call in, when men call in and they get my name wrong and then they call me by my last name, we usually hang up on them. But so you're starting off with two strikes against you. So you got to choke up and you got to make sure you make contact here. So what do you think, April, when you hear, are you married? Are you single? What's your situation?
I'm married. I'm 52 and I'm starstruck. I'm sorry I got your name wrong.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. All right. So you are, so what would your opinion be? You're almost the identical age of this man. What do you think's going on here?
Well, when my husband and I were dating, we went about 3 months with him just kissing me, and I thought maybe there was something wrong with me. Now, I don't know that I would have stuck around much longer.
Did you talk to your girlfriends about the fact that all he was doing was kissing you?
I did.
And what did they say? Because I think what's happening here is she is, like, not willing, obviously, to be aggressive, and she's talking to her girlfriends, and she's like, I don't know what's going on here. What advice would you give him, April?
I would tell him he just needs to go for it because obviously she's still hanging around and maybe she's too afraid to make the move. And back when I was, you know, back when that was happening, everybody thought he was polite being a gentleman.
Right. And that's fine. But 9 months, a long time to just make out, right?
That is a long time. And if she's still there, I think she'd be up for it.
Yeah. What do you think about my lingerie idea?
I actually missed that when I was dialing in.
Yeah, so first of all, you got to make a move, right? You got to slide the hand down to the boob at some point, right? And or be on the couch or whatever. But if he's totally afraid of making a move, it's Valentine's Day. He was asking initially for Valentine's Day advice. You're going to give maybe the standard flowers. You're going to give the chocolates. You go out to dinner or whatever else. If he gave her something sexy and said, "I'd love to see you in this," that too much or is that an okay move?
No, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But 9 months.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Thanks for listening, April. Thanks for the call. Courtney in Knoxville wants to weigh in. Courtney, how old are you? Are you married? What do you think? What advice do you have for this guy?
I'm 37, married. Yep. Been married for 16 years. I mean, I kind of agree with April before. If she's stuck around for 9 months, I mean, she's got to be feeling like something's wrong with her. She's my age. I'm not aggressive. she's not going to probably go for it if she hasn't already.
So what would you tell this guy that he needs to do? If you were like a counselor and he was coming to you and he's saying, okay, what advice would you give me? What does he need to do from your perspective? Do you like my advice? Do you dislike my advice? What's the play here?
I agree. Well, especially Valentine's Day coming up tomorrow. So like if he's Mr., you know, great gift giver, whatever, you've got to get a great piece of lingerie. I mean, if he's wanting to go, I mean, if he's wanting to, you know, advance on with her, if she's sticking around for 9 months, she's probably wanting to, too. The ring idea, I mean, maybe she's wanting to get married, but maybe she's, I mean, I don't know if she's wanting to get married to a 51-year-old without knowing what it's like, you know, under the sheets.
Yeah, like on The Bachelor, they get to test each other out. You wouldn't want to just marry a random 51-year-old. Maybe she thinks his penis doesn't work.
Maybe so. And if it's not worked in 9 months, I mean, I can't figure out why she's still sticking around if he's not going for it. But lingerie is a great idea.
You like
Wrap
the idea.
It up really
so
nice
what's the
piece?
Difference yeah. between classy lingerie? We got a call about make sure you go with the classy lingerie and the not classy lingerie. Like, how would you distinguish it for men?
It's price. So if he gets something that she does not know the brand, I mean, that's going to be, you know, maybe that came from the Love Shack down the road. Victoria's Secrets or, you know, I mean, any boutique in their area, that's a nice, classy. I mean, but you want it to be a little bit, I don't know what I can say.
Sexy. You want it to be a little bit sexy, but you don't want it to be trashy.
Correct. Yes. You know, I mean, because you want it to look, you want him, you want, he wants to see her in it.
Yes.
So if he's giving her grandma's gown, it's not working.
That's actually really, this is a fine line. There's like, it's like the porridge. You don't want to go with like, here's what my grandma's underwear looks like. And you also don't want to go with, here you are dressed up like a 16-year-old schoolgirl. You got to go somewhere in between in that fertile region, right?
So finding that is the key to the lingerie not making her leak.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. All right, thanks for the call, Courtney. Yeah. Sarah in Nashville wants to weigh in. Sarah, what's your marital status and or your age?
Okay, I'm married, and I turned 32 yesterday.
All right, so you married, you turned 32. You're a little bit younger than this woman. What do you think she is thinking 9 months of dating this guy if he's only kissed her?
I honestly think she's probably stringing him along. I don't think she's waiting for a ring. I think that's an immature thing to do at 41, 50. And I think that the lingerie idea could easily backfire very quickly, because I don't think she's as into him as he is into her.
So what would you tell him to do?
Talk. I mean, ask him where, I mean, this sounds really basic and kindergarten level, but ask her, talk to her about like, hey, it's Valentine's Day. I've been thinking about a lot about what to get you. I'd really like to take our relationship to the next level. I'm serious about you. Like, do we even know? Have they said I love you? Where are they in the actual relationship?
This is a great question. We might know the answer if the numbnuts who work on this show hadn't gotten him to hang up. So that's actually good advice. Yeah, like how far? I mean, if he said I love you and they're still just making out, this is a strange dilemma for a relationship to be in, right?
Absolutely.
And your lingerie idea, you think that could be too aggressive?
I think it could be without knowing more about what their actual feelings for each other are. Because he let this go on for 9 months. Does he want more, or is he just trying to get laid? Like, does he want more from her specifically?
It's clear, by the way, for every guy listening, he's clearly not just trying to get laid if he's only been making out with her for 9 months. This would be the least efficient way to get laid in the history of dating.
This is true.
When's the last time you made out and only made out, Sarah?
I don't think that's happened since the very beginning of my relationship with my husband, which would be over 6 years.
Yeah, over 6 years. I mean, I think that, thanks for the call, by the way. I think that's the normal answer for most women is the last time you made out with a man and that's all you did. Clarice in California. Clarice, what's up?
Hi, Clay. It's so obvious that she is using him. Like, he even said it. He spent all this money on her, buying her all these gifts. You know, I feel like he's just, like, using along for 9 months, and he's, like, basically her sugar daddy, and he doesn't even know it. Like, he doesn't even know exactly, like, how they're kissing. I mean, I don't even impress the way, like, making out, like, his definition of it, because they probably just, like, kiss a couple times, you know? So I feel like he's basically, you know, shelling out money and she's just stringing him along.
And so he'll find it out if he attempts to make the move, and that's as far as she'll go, right?
Yeah, he could do the lingerie thing. I think that lingerie thing would work.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the lingerie thing is a good move because as long as you don't go with the granny lingerie and as long as you don't go with, like, the way too slutty lingerie, like that fertile middle ground, I think that would work. And if she doesn't want to put that on after 9 months, it's pretty much a sign that this thing's not going
to
work out, right?
Yeah, wasting your time. Kick her to the ground. I mean, there's so many outlets out there to find another woman. Like, who cares?
When's the last time you just made out with a guy?
Never. Nobody does that anymore. I swear, there's no making out. You pass first, you're all the way to second now. You know, who makes out anymore? I don't even know anybody who gets hickeys anymore. Like, that's so played out.
Clarice, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Women, weighing in. There you go. I think, have we solved this problem? I think the general consensus is that basically every woman is calling this guy a pussy willow, right? And I think if this, like, all of these women would be talking to their girlfriends, and if she's not making a move, like, he's just got to make a move. And I honestly, I want him to call in again and give us an update. If you guys hadn't run him off of the radio, and if he hadn't hung up on us, I hope he was still listening to all those women calling in all over the country giving him advice. I want to know what happens. Don't you guys want to know what happens on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, and I think he accepts our apology.
It's not our apology. It's your apology.
It's our apology.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You were all for it during the break.
No, I didn't even know this was going on.
Yeah, no, I told you, and you laughed. You're like, that's a good idea.
I thought it was funny, but you should have let me convey it to him on the air. All right, so we'll find out, hopefully. When we come back, I believe we are scheduled to have a NASCAR racer. I'll ask him, when's the last time he just made out? Also, what's going to happen in the Daytona 500? We're going to find out. That should be fun. I appreciate all of your calls. Can't even keep up with Twitter mentions.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
This story is everywhere, and it sounds utterly terrifying. Russian Arctic islands have sounded an emergency over the fact that they have been invaded by polar bears. Russian authorities have so far refused permission to shoot the bears, but are sending a commission to investigate the situation and have not ruled out an overall shooting. A Russian Arctic archipelago, that is a tough way to start a sentence, declared an emergency situation over the weekend over the invasion of dozens of aggressive polar bears. This place only has 3,000 people living in it. And they have, quote, a mass invasion of polar bears, 50 of them living everywhere. The polar bears, this is crazy, 52 polar bears since December have regularly visited the archipelago's main archipelago. I'm not even sure how you pronounce that. What is an archipelago? Does anybody know?
Not sure. Going to have to research that.
Yeah, somebody needs to look up what exactly. I know the word, but I don't even remember what it is from my elementary school geography. What is an archipelago? Somebody look that up. The city is called Belutia Guba, which is probably just mangled in my pronunciation there. They have had aggressive behavior by polar bears, and it has included attacks on people, entering residential homes and public buildings. There are constantly 6 to 10 bears inside the settlement. This is just another word for an island? That seems like a real show-off.
It's a group of islands.
That's what an archipelago is. There are constantly 6 to 10 bears inside the settlement. People are scared. They're afraid to leave their homes. Parents are frightened to let their kids go to schools. They say the number of bears are unprecedented. And this guy says, I've been on Novaya Zemlya since 1983. It's even better if you picture this in a Russian accent. And there's never been such a mass invasion of polar bears. The bears are constantly inside a military garrison and literally chase people, as well as going into the openings of places where people live. They have tried to scare off the polar bears with vehicles and dog patrols. That has been ineffective. And because the polar bear is an endangered species, they can't figure out what they need to do. Shooting the animals could be the only possible measure. And this is pretty wild.
Is crazy.
Yeah, and in January, they said they had to knock down hundreds of disused military buildings because polar bears were living inside the old military. I can't think of anything worse than being invaded by polar bears. You said the video is pretty wild.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched the video.
Yeah, there's some video of them rummaging through the town, and they basically have turned a street into what looks like a dumpster now.
Yeah, that's not ideal. That is not ideal at all. All right, so that is one story that is out there. The other story that I've got, and this is a bunch of you sent me this. This is a tough way to go. A woman was eaten alive by pigs after suffering a seizure while she was in the pen. A 56-year-old woman died after she was eaten by pigs. This also
in Russia.
Was in Russia. A farmer was eaten alive by her pigs after she collapsed. She said she had that she evidently they know that she had a seizure. She fell down and the pigs ate her. Her husband is believed to have gone to bed early as he wasn't feeling well, which is why he didn't find her quickly. He then found her eaten by the pigs in the pen. This is like if you watch Deadwood, if you remember, I think it was Wu, the Chinese immigrant who had the pig pen. And on Deadwood, Alza, spoiler alert, which they're making a movie, by the way, on Deadwood, and I can't wait to watch the movie Deadwood. But Al Swearengen would take the dead bodies in Deadwood and just toss them into Wu's hog farm because the pigs would just completely eat them all up. This is that brought to life also in Russia. The lesson that we're learning here is Russia sounds like a really dangerous place to live.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are joined now by Matt DiBenedetto, whose name I just probably mangled completely, but I appreciate him joining us because he is going to be in the Daytona 500, which is airing at 2:30 Eastern on Fox this weekend. Matt, We've been breaking down relationship issues for people today on the show because tomorrow's Valentine's Day. What's the worst Valentine's you ever had?
That's one way to start it. I don't know. I haven't had any. Well, luckily, no real bad ones. And my wife is super easy. So one of the funniest presents I got her one time was a one of those like Hershey's candy bar looking pillows, and it was her favorite Valentine's Day present that she'd ever gotten, and that was kind of surprising to me.
Do you guys have kids?
No, we don't. So it's just the two. Well, we kind of do. We have a dog named Brian, so that's close enough.
Yeah. So what does she do while you're racing? Does she come to the racetrack and watch it in person? Is it too nerve wracking? I mean, obviously you do something that is dangerous. She's watching it on television. How does she go about watching something like the Daytona 500?
Last year she was crying. She was, she's here. She'll be down here. But yeah, last year we were third with two laps to go in the Daytona 500 and we ended up getting crashed. The leaders, we all got caught up in a wreck, but, yeah, so she was crying down at the pit box last year. Hopefully we can finish it off this year, but she goes to, a pretty good majority of the races. And the ones that she doesn't go to, she actually has fun. Hanging out at home and with our neighbors. They all actually, my neighbor has a TV and surround sound in his garage, and they'll all have a little get-together slash party and watch the race if she doesn't come to it.
There's nobody who works in a law enforcement that ever listens to this show, so you don't have to worry about it. What's the fastest you've ever driven on a regular road?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't, I've had some pretty fast cars over time, but now I actually have a Lexus RCF, but I don't know, maybe just to like get all my speed out on the racetrack. I don't drive too crazy on the street, thank goodness. So
does it seem to you like
halfway responsible
when you're on the interstate and the speed limit is like 55? Does it seem insanely slow to you, like while you're driving in a car on the interstate, like, and everybody's going, 55 or 60 miles an hour? To me, that feels like it would be infuriating with what you do for a living.
Yeah, thank goodness we have cruise control, or I would be like royally in big trouble. Because, yeah, I always wish it was like the Autobahn where you could just drive at a comfortable speed, because, you know, my probably a more comfortable speed cruising for me would be like 95 or something like that. 9,500 miles an hour would feel comfortable. And, yeah, unfortunately, we can't do that. So I've set cruise everywhere.
We are talking to Matt DiBenedetto, all right? You can follow him. This is easier for me to say, at Matt D Racing. Go let him know. Thank him for coming on the show. For people out there who may not pay a lot of attention to NASCAR but do pay attention to the Daytona 500, what is it about Daytona that's so special?
Oh, man, this is the Great American Race. This is, I mean, this is something that I've watched since I was a kid. I only could have dreamt of being a part of. So it's so fun. It's crazy. My first Daytona 500 that I ever got to witness in person was actually racing in the Daytona 500. I'd never been to it in person before then, and holy cow, it was so overwhelming. It's crazy. There's people everywhere. It's slam packed. It's I mean, it's kind of like the Super Bowl for us almost. So it's fun, man. It's such a huge event, and if you can win that, that's like a such a milestone of your life.
What are your odds, do you know, to win the Daytona 500? You mentioned that you were in third place and then crashed down the stretch last year. Do you know what your odds are this year to win the Daytona 500? And given the fact that I'm on a sports gambling show, should I bet on you? Do you like your odds?
I do. You know, I don't know what they're at right now. I don't know if it was for the duels or if it was for the 500, but I saw something where I think we were like 200-1, which was freaking crazy, because we you know, I've been in an interesting situation. I had to race for smaller underfunded teams, but at the speedway races like here in Daytona, we've always been up front, had multiple top 10 runs and up front at the end when it counts countless times. So I was really surprised to see those odds, but yeah, I'm in the best opportunity of my entire life this year. You know, really good team and all that, so we have definitely a fair shot of winning it. And so, yeah, if anyone's placing their bets, I think we are a pretty good one, especially based on the odds.
200-1 is pretty wild. So I'm going to put some money down on you, just FYI. No pressure. But if you win this thing, it'll be the greatest win of my gambling career. And I will, like, you'll be in my eternal good graces. So not any more additional pressure that's going on. Now, you also, it's kind of cool, have worked a lot with Joe Gibbs. And obviously a lot of people know Joe Gibbs for his football-related successes with the Washington Redskins. What was he like in your experience working with him in the NASCAR side of his career?
Oh, man, that's one of the best families I've gotten to know, honestly. Him and his son JD, who recently passed away, were honestly the whole reason that I am where I'm at today. So great people, coaches, one of those guys that you just naturally look up to, and you get kind of nervous being around him because it's Coach Gibbs, but he's actually just a basic, nice, down-to-earth guy, genuinely cares about people, good Christian guy. So really cool. Learned a lot from him and his entire family. More than anything, just about being a good person and how you treat others. That's, you know, more than just the racing side.
He's at Matt D Racing. He's Matt DiBenedetto, man. But you changed your name to Dub Burrito, right? Because first of all, I could pronounce that easily. But secondly, because on social media, you're really active. You can find him at Matt D Racing. How did that come about?
So last name is DiBenedetto. Obviously tough to say, but yeah, the fans, I mean, I don't know, I guess just because I eat a lot of food, people know it. I don't even know. And the burrito is easier. So somehow it came about naturally just from the fans, and it took off. But it was nothing even of my doing. So pretty funny that took off, and now people started calling me it, and it kind of, and it's weird because I'm an Italian guy, but my nickname is the burrito. I don't know.
We're talking to Matt at Matt D Racing, the Daytona 500 going on Sunday on Fox. I understand also there's a lot of debate about whether or not race car drivers are athletes. Do you consider yourself to be an athlete, and what evidence would you put out there as such that you are an athlete?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of races I saw, you know, last year, and where people have to get out of the race cars and go straight to the care center and get IVs. You know, your heart rate is elevated, your adrenaline is through the roof, and you're doing it for, you know, 3 to 4 hours in a, depending on the heat outside, in a 130-degree race car inside the cockpit. So I would say it is a very easy argument to to say that, yes, we are definitely athletes. It's different. It's a different kind of athlete than, you know, some other things. You know, our preparation is big on, you know, hydration and endurance, things like that. And they did a study, actually. It's on there was the videos up on YouTube, but years ago, on Denny Hamlin in the car, and it was actually really interesting. His heart rate, the things that his body went through, temperatures, stuff like that. But and my training regimen's a little bit different than the rest of the drivers.
All right, last question for you, and I appreciate you getting up early with us. Thanks for coming on again. The NASCAR race gets rolling this weekend, Sunday. Watch the Daytona 500 on Fox. When you we give advice to people on Wednesdays. People call in; they have all sorts of issues. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I led off with it for you. This 51-year-old guy called in. He's been dating this 40-year-old girl for 9 months, and so far, all they've done is make out. He can't figure out how to get beyond the make out. What advice would you give him going into Valentine's? Again, 9 months of dating, all they've done is make out. What should his move be as he goes into that? That's a long time to just be making out. I know you're sitting around thinking, my God, how is that possible? It's like a 15-year-old boy's question. What advice would you give him going into Valentine's Day? What plays does he need to make? NASCAR drivers, aggressive guys, what's the play here?
Yeah, well, I think being a man is all about being confident. And I can, you know, relate to that. That's how you have to be with being a race car driver. So I'd say you're the man, you're confident, and you got to lay the law down. You got to make the first moves. It's all up to you. So you control the situation. So that's, being a race car driver relates to relationship advice, I guess.
There you go, big time. We'll be watching, and if you win, we're going to have you back on, and you can take a victory lap for sure on this show. Appreciate it. Go follow him on Twitter, at Matt D Racing. Watch him on Sunday, Daytona 500 on Fox. Appreciate it, my man.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.